Hi, welcome to Forward Church, pastored by Dan and Tini Tiati, with locations on the Gold Coast and in Logan, Queensland, Australia. You're listening to our Logan Campus podcast, and we pray that this message will empower you to be all that God has called you to be.
Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And Joshua chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 7. This is actually a very key passage of scripture in the journey of Forward Church. This was the very first sermon that was ever preached at Forward Church. The very first message that we ever preached when there was all 20 of us sitting together in a little room in the Gold Coast. And so Joshua chapter 1 verse 7 begins, "Be strong and very courageous." Touch someone next to you and say, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong." Everyone say, "Be strong."
"Be strong
and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready." Touch someone next to you and say, "Get ready."
"Get ready."
Touch someone who didn't look like they're ready and say, "Get ready."
"Get ready."
3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. Then we go down to chapter 3, verse 17. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan. In other words, the men and women of God always went before the people. They went into the middle of the Jordan and they stood. And as they stood, a miracle happened, because in the middle of the water, they stood on dry ground. While all the nation of Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. The title of my message, if you're making notes, and if you're not making notes, write this down. The title of my message today is Crossing the Jordan. I want you to say that with me all together. 1, 2, 3. Crossing the Jordan. I want you to turn someone behind you and say, "Crossing the Jordan." Crossing the Jordan. See, whether we understand this or not, everybody in this room is crossing a Jordan. Every person in this room is crossing a Jordan. In other words, the Jordan represents the gap between where we are and where we want to be. The Jordan represents the gap between what we see in our heart and what we see in our hand. The Jordan represents the gap between our current reality and our future destiny. Everybody in this room is getting ready to cross the Jordan. Now, for some people are crossing the Jordan of weight loss. I'm preaching to myself right there. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, yeah, you've noticed. There's a few kgs less on your pastor today, in the name of Jesus. And everybody is crossing a Jordan. Everybody is walking from one side to the other side of God's promise. And oftentimes, it feels like the promise is so far away. It feels like God said to us that we're going to possess the promised land, but often we feel like we're in the middle of a wilderness. And the truth is that until we cross the Jordan, we will never possess the land. Notice what God says, that I'm giving to you. In other words, even though he's given it to you, you still have to put some work in and cross the Jordan. See, that's why we've got to make sure that we encourage a new generation who think that everything comes to them just on a silver platter. No, no, no. The only thing that's free in the Bible is salvation. Salvation is free. It's a free gift from God. But the Bible says once you get salvation, he says to work your salvation out with fear and trembling. In other words, grace is free, but you got to work it out. In other words, you got to get into step with God. You got to get into partnership with the Holy Spirit. You got to come alongside God. He must increase. We must decrease in the name of Jesus. But there is a process to the crossing. I don't know about you. I love the promise, but I don't love the process. Amen? That's like that person who said, God, give me patience. Now. We love the promise, but it's the process that we find challenges with. And today I want to give you three things that as you are in the middle of your process, three things to encourage you, three things to remind you, three things that we must apply to our lives whenever we are getting ready to cross the Jordan. Touch someone next to you and say, I'm getting ready to cross. Number one, when it comes to crossing your Jordan, no matter what that is in your life, the first thing that we must remember is that we must stay focused. We got to stay focused. You know, when I was growing up, we had the toys we grew up with were different to the toys they had today. You know, today every toy just has a screen attached to it. It's boring. You know, it's boring. It's some joystick and something, and they look mindlessly at the screen, and that's the toy. But you know, when I was growing up, we had real toys. Toys that were outside. You know, we had real toys. And I remember, I can't remember, maybe I was 8 years old. I got this toy from my parents, and it was the best toy. The best toy that you could give to an eight-year-old boy. They gave me this toy. I played with it forever. They gave me a magnifying glass. You know, none of this PlayStation Fortnite stuff, that's boring. They gave an eight-year-old boy a magnifying glass. How many remember those real toys? Those are real toys. And they gave me this magnifying glass. Well, if you gave a magnifying glass to a kid today, he'd be trying to see how he can get his PlayStation up on it. But when you give an eight-year-old kid back then a magnifying glass, oh, it was the best fun in the world. Because I discovered very quickly that if you take a magnifying glass and if you're outside and you just hold it up to the sun, and what happens is you angle it right. And you're outside on the grass where like bugs and all that are walking around. You could angle that magnifying glass. And what happens is a magnifying glass takes a broad spectrum of light and it focuses it. And so you'd hold this magnifying glass and this big spectrum of light will all of a sudden focus. And it was powerful because with that focus, you could do things like start fires. You could do fun things like burn insects. But what would happen with a magnifying glass is that a magnifying glass would have the ability to take all of this random broad light and bring it together into one small point. And when you take all of that light and bring it together into one small point, when it's broad, it's not very powerful. It gets you a little bit of warmth, but it's not very powerful. But when you focus it, you can create a spark that can start a fire. And in our lives, we've got to have focus. You know how hard it is to have focus today? You know, I mean, I grew up in a time, and some of you did too, when you'd wake up and TV didn't start until 10:30 a.m. Some of you millennials are like, oh my Lord, you guys, you know, you were so primitive. You know, I grew up in a day when TV would go off at night. You know, I grew up in New Zealand. And you knew it was your bedtime because Goodnight Kiwi would come on. Goodnight Kiwi would climb up the satellite, go to bed, and then the sign would say at about 7 p.m., good night, kids, and then all the kids have to go to bed. You know, I grew up in a day and time where there were only two TV channels. TV1, TV2. I remember when they bought out TV3. It was a great celebration. Well, now, 24/7, about 500 channels, as much as you can get. And if there's nothing on TV that you don't like you don't want to watch ads, well, just put on your Netflix. Watch social media. You know, there are so many options and so many distractions available to us today. But I want you to know that when you're going through the Jordan, the worst thing you can have is more distractions in your life. When you're going through a Jordan, you got to focus in the name of Jesus. Touch someone next to you and say, focus. You got to focus. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Everyone say, one thing I do. He's got to focus. One thing I do. I forget what is behind and I press toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, when it comes to crossing the Jordan, don't lose your focus in the middle of the Jordan. When you get to the middle of the Jordan, don't second guess yourself. Don't allow anxiety or doubt to come your way. If God called you, then you stay on track with where God's called you to go in the name of Jesus. You notice that even in this passage of Scripture, that a whole generation went across the Jordan into the promised land. But you remember the story that they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years until a whole nother generation died out. In other words, everybody who crossed the Jordan had to leave people and things they loved behind. And every single one of us, we can't be consumed in what is yesterday. We can't be consumed in what is dead. We've got to step forward into the purpose and the promise of God in the name of Jesus. I want you to touch someone next to you and say, stay focused. Number two, the second thing we have to remember when we're in the middle of the Jordan, when we're walking through the process, is the second thing is, stay together. Stay together. The Bible says that two is always better than one. We are always better together. Somebody wrote a song, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. And I don't know the rest of the words. But the point is this. When we're going through the Jordan, don't get isolated. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, a man who isolates himself, this New King James, isolates himself, seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. Now, rage, that's a strong word. You know, like road rage. Rage. The Bible says that a person who isolates himself has road rage against himself. Rages against wise judgment. In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, make a decision. I am not going to live my life alone. We have more connectivity on the planet right now than ever in history. But we have more loneliness than we've ever had in all of history. Come on. Yeah. Your Facebook friends are not your real friends. We don't need some virtual friends. We need some actual friends. We need some actual people around our lives. The Bible says that when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come out. And outside of the tomb were some guys. And he said, listen, you guys, take his clothes off. In other words, you and I need people around us who love us enough, who we trust enough, who can tell us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. By the way, a true friend will tell you what you need to hear at risk of your friendship, at risk of offending you. But a real friend is always there. The Bible says brothers are born for days of adversity. So we all need friends just to keep us accountable, keep us right. Recently, a boy named Dan, who's part of our Gold Coast campus, he started joining a family group. By the way, a family group is, if you're not part of a family group, join one. It's an amazing thing. He went to his family group. He joined one this year. And then while he was in there, after that group, he got a message from a family member. His family member had called him and said, I'm sick and I'm in hospital. And the diagnosis is not good. They're saying basically there's nothing that they can do. So Dan, who's a new Christian, gave his heart to the Lord earlier this year. He's part of a family group. He told the family group. And that family group said, hey, listen, don't worry. We're praying for him. And we're believing that he's going to be healed. He wasn't even there to pray, but he had some guys around him who were praying. He was in a group, in a community. He went to the hospital, and he's a new Christian. He doesn't really know what to say. He turned up there, and he said, listen, I don't know what the doctors have said to you, but I want you to know something that I know. He said, this is exactly his words. He said, my boys are praying. He didn't pray for him because he didn't know how to pray for him. We're going to teach him that next time, maybe. But he said, my boys are praying. The next day he gets a phone call. Bro, hey, what's happening? I don't know what's happened. I don't know what you guys are doing over there. But the doctor just came and told me that the sickness is gone. They can't find it. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know, That when you are together with other believers, when you are together and people have faith, when you don't have faith, when they can believe, when you don't quite can't believe yourself, then God will bless your life in the name of Jesus. Touch someone next to you and say, stay together. Stay together. Takes a village to raise a child. Stay together. Don't isolate yourself. Stay together. Number three. The third thing we've got to remember when we're walking through the Jordan is we've got to stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry. What am I talking about? I'm saying stay hungry for God. Stay hungry for the things of God. Stay hungry for the purposes of God. Stay hungry for the house of God. Stay hungry. Why? Because hunger is a sign of health. Hunger is a sign of health. Not too much hunger all the time, though, but anybody know what I'm talking? I'm preaching to me right now. But what I'm saying to you is that hunger is a sign of health. Just the other day, one of my children, she was sick. She was at home sick. Actually, so there was one daughter, wakes up in the morning, Daddy, I'm sick. I said, you know, are you sick or you just don't want to go to school today? You know, are you really sick? No, Daddy, I'm sick. She says, I said, are you sure you're sick? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, well, go downstairs, make yourself some breakfast. She goes, oh, no, Daddy, I can't eat. Soon she said, I can't eat. I thought, she's really sick. It's true. No, well, coming behind that very quickly was my youngest daughter. Hey, Daddy, I'm sick. Are you sick? Are you really sick? Or are you just saying you're sick because your sister's sick? Oh, no, Daddy, I'm sick. Okay, then, well, how about we go and get you some chocolate and that'll make you feel good. Oh, yeah, that'll be awesome, Daddy. Yeah, I knew you weren't sick. Why? Because when you're sick physically, you actually can't eat. You lose your appetite. And that the loss of appetite is a sign, it's a physical sign that there is something that is not right with your body, that you need to get help, medication, prayer, etc. Because, and then, by the way, after you've finished a period of sickness, the way you can tell that you are getting better is when your appetite returns. When you're unwell, and then you say, hey, and then you want to eat today? And you say, oh, yeah, I feel like eating. Well, then that's a sign that you're healed. That's a sign that you're getting better. That's a sign that you're well. Well, I want you to know, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And sometimes we get spiritually full. But it's not that we're full of God. Often it's we're full of stuff. If we don't have hunger for God, then we're full of something else. So what we must do is we must empty ourselves. We must empty ourselves of disappointment, shame, mistakes, failure, regret, willful wrongs. Forgive. The Bible says that when you confess and ask God to forgive you, He forgives you. For God, forgiveness is immediate. For ourselves, it often takes a process. But when we're hungry spiritually, then that's a sign that we're healthy. Let me say this then. A sign that you're spiritually not hungry is a sign that spiritually you're not well. And you need God just to come back into your heart. And you need God just to come back.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to contribute to the work of Forward Church, or you'd like to learn how you can get connected, just go to forwardchurch.com.